So this morning, we continue in a series of the God of Second Chances. And I don't know how I pulled the card that I did this morning as we talk about second chances, and Justin has done an amazing job of prepping this and talking us to today. And then he leaves and gives me the chapter on second chances. So I feel lucky, I feel blessed, I feel honored to be able to speak this word this morning. So today, let's talk a little about Jonah's story. So in chapter 1, Jonah runs. And I think if there's one thing that I've learned as I prepared for today, that there's a lot of parallels between my journey and Jonah's. In chapter 1, we understand that Jonah runs. And why? Well, because Nineveh is a wicked city, and he has a sneaking suspicion about what God is about to do. And in all honesty, I think he wants no parts of it. So he runs in the absolute opposite direction. And then in chapter 2, Jonah waits and Jonah prays. And we understand in a lot of ways in my life, I know this, that there was a season in my life when I decided, and I believe in that time, I was on a good path, I was doing some good things. But I made a decision one day that I wanted to be with this person that I did not marry, but I wanted to be with this person, and she drew me out of my calling, not knowing that. I didn't obviously know how, isn't that the way though? You know, we take one nibble at a time, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a far off land. But I found myself away from the church. I found myself away from my family and my friends, because I chose her instead of all those things. And in the same way, the Lord had to get a hold of me. Luckily, I didn't find myself in the belly of a fish, but he got me alone, and he got to my heart, and he spoke to me in those moments, and he's like, look, come on, buddy. I got stuff for you to do. It's not too late, right? And that's how he is. So Jonah waits. He gets alone in the belly of the fish with just him and God, and he's waiting to see what the next thing is. And in those moments, Jonah is praying. And this is what he says. As my life is caving in all around me, I remembered you. I prayed, and you heard me in your holy temple. And I think the thing that we need to hear today is, if there's anything I know, that was my prayer over and over again. God, I don't know if you have plans for me still. I don't know about much, but I know my world is crashing in all around me. But in those moments, I remembered the God that my grandfather used to preach. In those moments, I remembered all the things that God had saved me from, all the things that he had done on my worst day to bring me to the places that he was waiting to give to me, right? And he had plans that he wanted to fulfill in my life. And I just had to say yes. I just had to obey. So Jonah prays and he says, God, I remembered you, and I hope that you hear me in your temple. I'm ready to do what you asked me to do. And just like God always does, he's right there waiting for us to choose him. He's not far off. He's not trying to make you pay. He's not trying to make you work your way back. He's right there waiting. And the story didn't change, right? So chapter 1, he says, hey, go to Nineveh. He runs. Chapter 3, he says, all right, back to where we were. Go to Nineveh, right? And if there's anything I know about my life, it's the same thing. He had a calling on my life 20-some years ago. I ran away. My timing's a little off. I got old. But I ran away. It's more than 20 years now. It was 20 years once. I ran away. And then I came back. And the word then has not changed. And that's the things that he told me. Because I told him, I said, God, I know that you had to probably give something of my plan A, right, to someone else. I know that, you know, I messed this up. So God, if you have anything left, that I can do for you, I'll do it. And the word that day and every day since has been no, Aaron. Silly bug. I never gave up on you. I never gave that plan to anyone else. The word that I gave you 20 years ago is the same today. Go and do what I ask you to do. And luckily, I look at myself today and I get to hang out with you guys this morning. I get to hang out with your kids and your youth and kids ministry and roots and all the things. And it's a joy that I get to do. But the Lord didn't give up on me. And I'm telling you this morning, if you hear nothing else, the Lord is not angry with you and he has not given up on you. And he won't. So chapter 3, here we are. Jonah's gets spit out on the beach. And then he says, you know what? That was not fun. Lord, I will obey. And then God does what he always does. So let's read chapter 3. And I will try very hard not to stop reading with all of the things that I can't wait to say in the middle. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and then he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. And they called for a fast, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. And then he issued a proclamation through Nineveh. By the decree of the king, let neither man or beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let them be covered with sackcloth and let them cry out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he did not do it. As you can tell, there are times in my life when passages of scripture, and I always say that these are my favorite. I've never really dug into this one before. I wouldn't say that it's my favorite, but there's a lot of times when the Lord gets me into these seasons and these little things just like break me down, right? Who knows? And all the other things that we'll dig into. But this has been a transformative thing for me, and I hope that that gets portrayed to you this morning. So number one, his message didn't change. He was asked to do a thing. He ran. He came back with the same word. Number two, I think the thing that we need to remember is, if you're anything like me, I don't know what. There's times when the God asks me to do things and maybe I don't listen and maybe I don't do it the way that he would ask me to or something like that. So I think that this morning I put myself in Jonah's shoes and I go, all right, well, Nineveh is an exceedingly great city and God has asked me to bring this word. And I think it's cool the way that Jonah didn't just stop at the gate and say something like, repent, guys. Repent. Okay, God, I did it. Nah, he didn't want to bring that word anyway two chapters ago, but he didn't do that. It's 3 days wide, and he goes a day in. That was a journey. He walked a day to bring a word, and so I'm sure he had a lot of time to think about what his word was going to be. The word ended up being, in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. You walked a day to say that. Must have been a good one. Or B, maybe there was more to the story that we don't know. I don't know. Maybe he smelled like he'd been in the fish for 3 days. Who knows? Maybe they believed because they smelled. There's no telling. We don't know all those things. But we do know this. Sometimes Prophets are weird, man. We got John, you know, he's wrapped in camel hair and he's eating locusts, you know. That's, being a prophet is not always, you know, the most glamorous of jobs. He was pretty brash. He was pretty obnoxious. He lost his head because he couldn't shut his mouth and just let a king marry someone he wasn't supposed to and called him out for being a sinner and doing things, and it cost him. There's one thing I know. Many times in our lives, and I would never call myself a prophet, but I know this. Many times in our lives, the life of a prophet, and I think this is true in all the circumstances that I've seen, the life of a prophet is a lonely one. And you often feel like you are on a boat all by yourself, speaking a word that no one wants to hear, right? And oftentimes, it's a lonely one, right? And I think for Jonah, especially in this thing, is I believe Jonah knew something about what God was going to do because he understood his heart. But at the same time, he was in a wicked city all by himself speaking a word that he didn't know how they would respond. And that's a lonely place to be. But he did it because God asked him to. And so this morning, I think what the Lord is calling all of us to do is to know that in the hardest of times and in the things that have happened and the things that you've chosen and all those things, God has a plan for you and a plan only for you. And his encouragement to you this morning is, even if you're on a boat all by yourself in the middle of a storm and the water is raging all around you, he wants you to know that he's in the boat with you. Even if it feels like you're all alone, he will always be there with you. I've been blessed. I have an amazing wife who is always with me. We don't always agree, but she's always with me. I have two little girls that I love with all of my heart. And so they are a foundational piece of this journey. But there have been, and there still are, a lot of times when I feel like I'm just alone fighting a battle all by myself. And in those moments, I know. And I feel, and it's not emotions and it's not things, but I know that God is there with me. If no one is, I know that he is my portion. He is everything that I need. And so that's the God that I'm hopefully portraying this morning as we speak about who God is as a God of second chances. And secondly, I think that it's really important to see that he spoke the word and the people believed. And at that point, you know, it's not even good enough. Well, it is. Let me stay focused. They didn't just believe, but they did something. The people called for a fast, right? And I think that's a really cool idea. And the Lord impressed this upon me this week as like, it wasn't these high up people initially who called for a fast. Hey, we're gonna do this thing. The people didn't wait for the king to call the fast. The people didn't wait for somebody in authority to call a fast. The people said, no, we're gonna do this thing. And that's a really cool thing. I think this morning, one of the things that the Lord has been sharing with me is there's a lot of times when I feel like I love it when people, I don't put myself above anyone, but when people come to me and say, hey, I want you to partner with me in this. I had a friend come to me a couple weeks ago and say, hey, the Lord told me to come to you. Now, I don't know about why me. I don't ask those questions. But he said, I was asked to come to you, and I want you to partner with me in this. A person is calling for a partner in a mission, and we get to answer that call. And I think that's the other thing that the Lord is really pressing upon me. It's not like, yeah, I believe you, buddy. I'll be praying. That's good. But the Lord is calling us to turn from our wicked ways. The Lord is calling us to take action, to put sackcloth and ashes and all the pieces, to fast, to not even drink water that gets to the king. And he's like, no, I'm going to take it a step farther, people. That's not good enough. I went through a 3-week fast a couple weeks ago, and this is next level. I get it. But when I went into my fast, unlike the king, I did not go to my wife and my 2 little girls. I don't have pets, but if I did, I wouldn't have done that either. I didn't go to them and say, hey, the Lord's calling me into a fast, so guess what? You guys get to come too. No. Why'd you pull my animals into this? But I think it spoke to the desperation that the king wanted to portray, A, to his people, but to a God that I don't know that he really even believed in. But during his whole proclamation, he called God, big G God, the whole time through, right? We don't know if he believed in that God. We don't know if he was serving other gods. But in his proclamation, he called God, God. This is who he is. I hope God, maybe God, right? And so the God that he was believing in those moments, when he took action and put on sackcloth and sat in ashes and his people were all on the same boat with him and even the animals. Because when you believe the word, it has to change you. First, they call out mightily, it says, to God. And then they turn from their evil ways. Because the word changes you. It has to. I've said it 1,000 times and I'll say it again. When you get saved, it has to change you. Because if you live today, you get into the water and you come out and you're all the same, why did you go in there? Other than, oh, I knew it was something I was supposed to do. And I'm okay with that today. But tomorrow, I think it's time to maybe change some things and make your relationship with God look like something. Yeah? Can we agree on that? And then in verse 9, my point is to say that it changes everything. And then in verse 9, it says, and who knows? The king says, who knows? Maybe God. And in that moment, I hear Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I hear them about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And the king says, hey, you should do this. And they say, we're not gonna do it. We believe God is able. But if he doesn't, we're still not gonna do it. And I think that heart is the same as this king who says, we're gonna do this thing. And who knows if God will relent, but we're gonna do it anyway, right? And so this morning I hear God saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to receive you back. I'm ready to give you a second, a third, an 80th chance. Because when God saw what they did and the action that they took and not what they believed, right? It's more than that. What they did, when they repented, he relented from all the things that he had planned. The word changed their hearts from evil to good. And the word saved them literally and figuratively in that it made them choose the God of Israel over all the things that they had been serving for so long. Because everyone, we know this from this story, we know this, that everyone gets a second chance. Jonah gets a second chance. He ran, God got him, and he got a second chance to bring this word and be used by God. There's been times in my life when I've missed it, no doubt about it. But God consistently gives me a second chance. All right, this time, this is what I want you to do. You heard me. Now I'm gonna speak again, and I'm right where I left off, right? Nineveh gets a chance. I don't know if it was a second chance, but it's a real chance. They get a chance. They bring a word and they get a chance to repent and turn from evil, and they do it. They took advantage of that opportunity. And I think that's a word that the Lord wants us to hear this morning. Take advantage of every opportunity to step into everything I have for you, even if it's been too long, even if you've made a mistake along the way, because this is who the Lord is, right? So Psalm 103 speaks volumes to this. And I believe that Jonah somehow knew, whether he knew the actual psalm here or if he just knew the nature of God, this is who God is for us today. So it says in Psalms 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor repay us according to our wicked ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love toward those who fear him. And that's not afraid of him. That's those who call him Lord, those who want to serve him, right? Okay, let's not miss that. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sins from us. The reason why Jonah ran is because he knew this is who our God is. He ran because he had a sneaking suspicion that God was about to save a bunch of wicked people, and he didn't want any parts of it. He knew what God's nature was, because his whole life, I'm sure, he had learned from all the people that have gone before him, right? And he'd heard rumors of what Adam and Eve did and how the word said from the Lord when he talked to them. He said, if you eat of this tree, you will die, right? And I take that to mean, I'm a literal black and white person. I take that to mean, all right, if I eat this fruit, you're gonna kill me. No, but no, our God is a God of second chances. So in that moment, God doesn't kill them. He doesn't strike them down. He says, hey, where are you? Come on in. Let's talk about it. And I've created a way. I have a way to move forward. And a couple thousand years later, Jesus comes as the second Adam to save us from that sin and all the ones in between and all the ones that we have now. And he brings us back into that relationship that Adam had with God. Now it looks a little different. We don't live in perfection. We still have all the pains and all the things. But he brings us back into that relationship with the Father who loves us. And his plan was to have a relationship with us. And Jesus makes that available, right? So God wants that relationship with us. And that's always been his plan. So this morning, that's his plan. He wants a relationship with you. And it's not contingent on much other than you just saying, you know what? I choose you. And then I think he heard stories of Moses who killed a guy, goes off in the desert for a bunch of years, just hanging out with the sheep. And God comes in, asked him to do something. So even he, raised in Pharaoh's home, he gets a second chance to do something that the Lord has asked him to do. And my favorite part about Moses' story is it says in the Bible that God spoke to him like a man speaks to his friend. And I'll be honest with you, that's a prayer that I've had on my heart ever since I came back a few years ago has been, God, I don't know what that looks like. I've never been a face-to-face with God and like that. That'd be really fun though. I would hope that that happens someday where I can just speak to him and that he would speak of me as his friend. That would be really cool. David, he knew David's story as well. You know, he kills Goliath, kills his thousands, does all of his things, but then he gets a little comfy. He sees a woman that he wants, gets her pregnant, kills her husband to cover that up so that they think it's his, you know, his child and everything. And the prophet comes to him, creates this elaborate story about sheep, about how he stole a sheep from his neighbor. This was his prized possession. He had 1,000 sheep and he stole this guy's one. and sacrificed it, or he kept it, or whatever. Yeah. And David says, this guy has to die. And the prophet says, you're the man. And in that moment, David didn't try to protect himself. David didn't try to do anything other than, you're right. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. I'll make it right. And so he does. He fasts. He does all those things. And God still gives him a second chance. And God gives him more things to do. And he's considered a man after God's own heart. Not because he was perfect, because his heart was to confess immediately. His heart was to be used by God. And then there's Thomas, and this is one of my favorite stories, because Thomas is known as a doubter, and I think that's really hard for a person to be known as that for eternity. But he was known as the doubter, right? So Jesus comes. He appears out of nowhere, like always, you know, just whipping in, whipping out. But he comes in and he appears to his disciples and he shows them his hands. He shows them his side. He shows them his feet. But Thomas wasn't there. So a week later or whatever, he shows up the same exact way. Does the same exact thing. Except this time, Thomas was there. Now, I don't know the whole story. I don't know all the whys and the reasons why God does the things that he does. But it looks like to me that he showed up once and Thomas wasn't there. And he shows up again just because Thomas was there. And he wants to show Thomas how important he is. And it's not worth, you know, oh, well, you should have known. You should believe Thomas. Nah, he'll show up for you. Even if it's only you. Even if you're the only one who missed out, he's gonna show up. And he's gonna give you the same opportunities. And it's not contingent on how good you're doing. Or if you're always right and you don't ever doubt. It's not contingent on anything other than that. And it's the same story with Peter, right? So he comes to him in the very first place, the way he calls Peter. Peter's out on the boat. Jesus says, throw your net to the other side, and he brings in a buttload of fish, right? That's the whole thing. 3 years later, he denies him three times. Peter goes right back to the boat because that's what's comfortable, right? Goes back to what's comfortable. Jesus meets him on the beach. Didn't catch any fish all night. Throw your nets to the other side. Same thing, same thing. Catches all the fish, brings them in. Peter, do you love me? He does the same thing to prove that he hasn't changed since the day that I called you. Even though you denied me, I haven't changed my mind about you. You're still the one, Peter. You're still the rock, Peter. Just keep on coming, right? And then there's Rahab. I talked about her last time. The thing about Rahab is that we may know her life decisions and we may know the things that she mistaked. That's fine. Dad will tell me later. We know the decisions that she made. And we also know that she is in the lineage of Jesus. So the word for this morning and the word to Rahab is it would have been easy for Rahab to say, you know what? I've done too much. I've gone too far. God can never use me now. Too much. And that's not the word, because God is a God of second chances. And even if you make the worst of the worst, the murderers and all the adulteries and all these things, God still says, no, no, just come back home. I'm willing to use you. Just come back home, confess, change your ways, and I'll keep moving. Because we've all made mistakes. We've all sinned, Romans says, and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, none are spared, minus Jesus. We are the same. And Jonah's sermon to them was, in 40 days, we're gonna destroy Nineveh. Like, God's gonna do that. But his sermon may not be the one for today. Like, in 40 days, I don't think God's about to destroy the earth. I hope not. But his sermon today may be the same as that, the heart of it, to say, hey, wide is the way. A lot of people are on it, and it leads to destruction. So maybe repent, change your ways, and come back to me. Maybe today's the day. It's time to stop. Maybe the word is it's time to stop. Maybe the word is it's time to turn around. Maybe you see yourself in the pig pen and all you remember is, man, I remember a time when it wasn't like this. Maybe you remember that your God loves you the same way that Jonah did. He remembered the God that he once served or wanted to serve after the fish. But maybe he remembers and goes back and says, yeah, my Father is waiting for me with open arms. When you repent, he relents every time, because his kindness leads to repentance. It's not his judgment oftentimes. Sometimes it works that way, and it's not me, but sometimes it does. But at the same time, the things that he does, the things in Peter's story, the things in Rahab's story, the things in all of these stories is that his kindness, his love, his mercy leads to repentance. And that's the word this morning. He's not angry with you. And he's not waiting with a belt to get you back in line. That's not the word. The word is, I'm waiting, and I'll keep waiting until you choose me. And I haven't given up on you. So the reason Jonah ran, because he knew what God was about to do. Because it's just who he is and who it's always been. He is unchanging. So this morning, I need you to hear this. God is not angry with you. He didn't come at Adam and Eve and say, how could you? I created this perfect world for you, and you did the one thing I told you not to do. He didn't say that. He said, where are you? Come on, let's figure it out. He didn't come at Peter and say, look at what I've done. You hung out with me for 3 years. Look at everything that I did. I did miracles. You know I'm who I am. And you deny that? He didn't say that either. He said, Peter, come on in, man. Do you love me? Yeah. We can go. We can keep going. Let's keep moving. And Peter took that advantage, and he took that chance, and he took that opportunity, and he did finish well. And we know that he didn't come at Rahab. He didn't come at Aaron. And he didn't say, hey, sorry, buddy. Too much. You went too far. He never says that. He says, Aaron, man, I'm waiting, man. I'm waiting. I want you to come back home. I have a plan for you if you want to walk in it. I have some things that I would really like for you to do. And they haven't changed. I haven't given it to anybody else. I didn't know this at the time, but he was probably saying something like, hey, man, I got some kids. I got some young people, some students. Really, you're really gonna love them, and they might need you a little bit, but I need you to come back. I haven't given up on you, right? And those are the things that I feel he's speaking over me always, and the things that I want you guys to hear, and I think that he's speaking to you this morning. You're not too far gone. He still wants you to come back. There's still hope. There's one thing I've said once, I'll say it another 1,000 times. You're still breathing. So he has a plan for you. So this morning, my hope, my prayer, as the worship team comes, is whatever you've come into this building with, whatever you're carrying, whatever you feel like stands in the way of what God is wanting to do, I want you to have the door open to you to come lay those things down. You don't have to wait. Just come lay those things down. Because our God, whom we serve, is a God of second, third, 50, 80 chances. And he hasn't given up, and he's not going to. So if you want to lay those things down and walk back out those beautiful doors, not carrying those things, and with a relationship with your Father that you always wished you could have, or maybe once you remembered what that looked like and you would like to revisit that, and you think that you were too far gone, but he has a plan to bring all those things back. I open the door to this altar. We have some people who would love to pray for you. If you need God to speak to you like a man speaks to his friend, come and find it. And if you want to come talk to me in that quiet corner, I will tell you what I think the Lord wants you to hear. I think that makes sense. I won't tell you what you want to hear. So I think I'm right. But either way, the door is open. The altar is here. Please accept the Lord's call to give you a second chance. He loves you. He hasn't given up on you. And he has big plans for you. And all he needs is for you to turn back towards home and accept this thing and do something about this call that has been given to you. So God, this morning, I thank you that you are a God of second chances. I thank you that you are a God who never gives up on us. And I thank you, Lord, that you've never given up on me, and you continue to show your mercy, and you continue to show your grace, and you continue to use us as your servants. And I know that I am not special. So God, I thank you that you love every one of these oldest to youngest, these sons, these daughters, and you can't wait for them to come back home. You can't wait to tell them all the plans that you have for them. And you've never given up on them. So God, I pray, Lord, that you would do something this morning in our lives that only you could do. Receive your lost children back home. God, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you that you've never changed. So God, we just give you our hearts. Make a way where there was no way. And we trust you this morning. And we thank you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please come. Please lay those things down. It's not too late.